This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, the bard, as he did so many times, probably put it best.
To be
single.
Or not to be
single.
That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous
singledom?
Or take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them. To die. To sleep.
To marry.
No more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks
of being single
that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep.
To marry.
Or to remain single or not. And our apologies to Mr. Shakespeare, but we want to make a point to introduce our monthly love letter segment. Our topic today, that desire felt by many people to be single or occasionally single.
Take, for example, one of my great heroes, Tina Fey's character Liz Lemon from the comedy 30 Rock. Here she is taking to the receptionist's office in her dentist's office.
And I am not embarrassed to tell you that I don't have anyone to pick me up, and I will be leaving alone.
Ma'am, you really need someone.
No, I don't.
I don't need anyone because I can do every single thing that a person in a relationship can. Everything. Even zip up my own dress.
So, Liz Lemon there trying her best to make the case that it's okay to be single, and of course it is. But what about people who are in a relationship and still feel that need to be single? Call them sometimes seeking singledom. And that's the focus of today's Love Letters segment. And joining us now is Meredith Goldstein, Love Letters columnist at the Boston Globe, who joins us every month. Hi, Meredith. Great to have you.
Should I mention that I'm also single?
Oh, absolutely.
Put a big S on my chest.
An interested party in our otherwise
right.
Disinterested, dispassionate conversation. So, Meredith, you received a letter here from a woman in her mid-30s with kids. Divorced. She's in a great relationship with another divorced man. They're compatible. She adores him. She says her heart still flutters when she's around him, but every now and then she has doubts. What's going on?
I think this is a very normal thing. She basically wrote in and said, I'm in a perfect relationship, or as perfect as any relationship can be, but there are certain days that I'm driving up the coast with a top down, listening to music and thinking, I wish I was a single woman. And I think we've all had that. So, my advice to her was...
Because she asks, what's wrong with
me?
Yeah, what's wrong?
And to me, nothing's wrong at all. She actually even asked, should I talk to my significant other about this? Should I let him know that sometimes I long to be single?
Or and at least get some different kind of music to play when
exactly,
you're out driving
right.
by yourself.
Music right? is key. But my advice to her was, please do not mention this to your significant other. It is assumed that in any relationship, you will have fantasies on any given day about, being... your single person out and about, no responsibilities. Your partner does not need to know that occasionally you think the grass might be greener. And I think it's a normal part of any healthy relationship. We always talk about single people longing for a partner. And we forget that when we're in a great relationship, sometimes you want that excitement of not knowing what's around the corner and who you might meet.
Well, listeners, what do you think about this? Should she embrace this intermittent desire to be single? Should she bring it up with her boyfriend? Maybe this points to a deeper issue about society shunning singledom. Are you single by choice, or do you get those intermittent urges to be so? Give us a call. We want to hear your stories. 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston. And let me introduce Bella DiPaolo. She's a visiting professor of psychology at the University of California at Santa Barbara, as well as a columnist for Psychology Today. And she's the author of Single Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Living Happily Ever After. And Bella DiPaolo, good to have you. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I love this topic.
All right, good. Well, that's why we wanted to get you into it. So you heard Meredith's letter. What
yes.
do you think? How would you have responded? What do you think's going on there?
Oh, my gosh. That was such an important letter. I'm going to keep it forever.
I'm so glad you think so, because I think so, too.
Yes. To think that now, in the 21st century, when over 100 million Americans are single, somebody could say, and all seriously could ask an advice columnist, is it normal that I'm feeling that sometimes I like being single? Well, yes, it's normal. And in fact, I object to the characterization, it's okay to be single. Mm. It's okay to be single is too apologetic. It can be great to be single. And in fact, I think there are people, and I'm not sure that you're reader who wrote the letter is one of them, but she may be. There are people who are single at heart. That means that single is who you really are. Deep down inside, that's you. That's your identity. Now, you may still have romantic relations occasionally or not, and you may live alone or not, but at your core, you feel that you are a single person. You're not someone who sees yourself as most comfortably coupled for the long haul.
And yet, Bella, there's a lot of bias, and you've written a lot about this, against the idea of being single, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, it is so amazing. Because here's a time when now, if you are gay or lesbian or bisexual, people understand that. You, with some exceptions, you don't have to make the case that I'm normal, it's fine, this is not a dysfunction, you're not going to find it in the manual of psychiatric disorders anymore. But with single people, you still find yourself on the defensive, that people assume that if you're single, there must be something wrong with you. You must have issues.
You know, and Bella, we dug out a great 2008 column by Gail Collins of the New York Times. She brought up a couple of great examples. Chris Matthews talking to Ralph Nader when he was running for president against Texas Governor George W. Bush. Quote, he's raised two daughters. He's had a happy marriage. Isn't he more mature in his lifestyle than you?
Wow. Isn't that astonishing?
Yeah.
Here's Ralph Nader, who has, you know, regardless of your political orientation,
single.
I mean, he has quite a lot of accomplishments, and yet Chris Matthews can say to him that he has to apologize or he's not truly ready for the office of the presidency because he isn't married with children like George W. Bush.
Yeah. Meredith, what's your take?
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting you played that Tina Fey clip from 30 Rock, and she's absolutely a hero of mine, but I do find it sometimes troubling that, you know, we have these two single archetypes for women, the Carrie Bradshaw Sex and the City who runs around trying to find a partner, and then we've got Tina Fey who's sort of a little bit more bumbling on 30 Rock, and of course in real life she's happily married with a child, you know, another one on the way. And I love that scene at the dentist appointment because I find that as a single person, and I think her character in reality would find that instead of one ride home, she's got about 15 rides home, that single people often have a very great, strong community of friends and, you know, occasional romantic partners who can be supportive and helpful. And this stereotype that a single person is really just a person who can't find a romantic partner is just incredibly troubling. So I find that the people who are single who I know have just a bigger web socially.
It's interesting you mentioned that clip we played of Tina Fey's character in 30 Rock because it's funny. It was very funny. But to the point that we're talking about, she's sort of making the defensive case that it's okay to be single.
I can do it too.
I can do it.
I
can even zip up my own.
Yeah,
but of course, we all know in 30 Rock, she's dying for a man. She doesn't want to be
single. Of course.
And
But, you know, I think it's unfortunate that we don't have more single characters who are just single characters, where that's not their defining attribute. And, you know, I think that people don't necessarily wind up single.
So our question, to be single or not to be single, or if you're in a relationship and you feel that intermittent urge to be single, what does that tell you? Give us a call, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's go from Dana, who's calling from South Wellfleet. Hi, Dana.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm single. I consider myself a free spirit. I mean, if I met somebody, I might be interested, but my surfing comes first.
I don't know if you count as single, Ben. It seems like you're married to something.
You're married to your surfboard, Dana.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I'm not especially good at it either yet, but I love it. It's just so, like, you know, I wouldn't want to have to give that up. I mean,
well, Dana, thanks so much for your call. I want to get a couple of other voices in here because we've got an awful lot of calls backed up. Bill is calling from Fenway. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well.
I just wanted to share the sentiment that ever since I've been married, which has been about 3 years now, I found that I fall in love with more people every day than I ever did before I was married. three or four times a day, I'm walking up and down the street, I might have a conversation with somebody, and I'm thinking, I could marry this person. Yeah, of course, I'm already married. And
I think that's a letter for another day.
Well, I just get that feeling all the time. I feel like ever since I've gotten married, I can fall in love with anybody. And true to my wife. I love her very much.
So you're true to your wife,
yeah,
Bill. So,
I fall in love more.
So you don't act on it. Do you tell your wife, though?
I don't tell her, but I certainly do fall in love far more often than I used to.
And I think we all do, and I'm sure that within your relationship you long to, you know, occasionally be single for a day and not fall in love with anybody, just have that feeling of independence. So, you know, I have to wonder, to what extent this is seasonal as well. I was not shocked to get this letter when the weather became warm. I get a lot of people who are in relationships writing to me when it's the kind of weather where you drive with the top down and are much more social and have those memories of like being on the beach and being alone and, you know, looking for a potential mate.
Let's take another call. Mike is calling from Framingham. Hi, Mike.
Hey, everyone.
Hi there.
I just wanted to share, the last caller, I think, had a spot on point. And I think that we run into a lot of assumptions when we have discussions like this. One, that you're either single or you're monogamously partnered. And then the other is that people have the same expectations for their relationships. I've been in an open marriage for a little over a year and was with my partner for a while before then. And what I find is that going at something with no assumptions and with that degree of freedom that some people would associate with singleness can really help a committed relationship.
Interesting, Mike. We appreciate the call. What do you hear there, Bella DiPaolo, in Mike's phone call? He's talking about certain assumptions that might sort of hold people back.
Yes, I think that the big point he's making is really important. And part of the problem faced by people who really are single at heart is that their experiences go against the usual assumptions, the conventional wisdom, the assumptions out there that everybody really wants to be married or really wants to be coupled. And so if you're someone who is single at heart and you love your single life, you run up against that assumption. And I think what the point the caller was making is that a lot of us, not just the single at heart, run into the assumptions of other people that bump up against how we really feel and how we want to live our lives.
Well, Stephanie writes on our website, as a happily single person, my only frustration is that we live in a family-sized society.
Well, I relate to that. Even going grocery shopping, it's very difficult to to buy something inexpensive for yourself. So that's certainly the case.
Yeah. What do you think, Bella?
Oh, absolutely. I have a section in my book singled out called Cheaper by the Couple, in which I go through all the many ways in which you can pay less per person if you're coupled. And it's not just the little things which add up, but also the big things, like not being able to put somebody else on your health care plan at a discounted rate like a married person can, or somebody else not being able to put you on their health care plan.
Sure, and of course the government gives us a big tax advantage if we're married.
Yes, there are over 1,000 places in federal laws that specify marriage as a criterion for getting that federal benefit or protection. And that is somewhat familiar to us because of all the controversy over same-sex marriage, where advocates say, why do I have to have a certain kind of partner in order to qualify? And I'm making a much bigger point. Why do you need to be any kind of couple at all in order to have some of the most basic protections and rights in this country?
Let's take a couple more calls. Jason is calling from Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi. I feel like there's only a handful of known species that are made-for-life creatures, and I don't think that humans are one of them. I think that we struggle a lot due to religious and societal pressures to find the one, but I really don't think that humans have the one. I think it's just a concept that we try to adopt, and I guess I'll take your opinions off here.
All right, Jason, we appreciate it. Bella, do you want to respond to Jason's point that humans perhaps are not animals that mate for life?
Yes, there it's a lot of scholarship now that's debating that, and evolutionary theorists especially look back at how different societies have evolved, as have anthropologists and historians, and monogamy has not ruled forever.
You know, one of the times that I was recently here discussing the lives of singles, we talked about people getting married later. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing about this letter that occurred to me was that if you spend, let's say, 30 or 40 years of your life living alone independently, even if you are the kind of person who is perfect as a twosome, you're going to be nostalgic for those times, and you would have experienced great days during those times. So, you know, I certainly want to say that some people who are single also do want to be in a relationship, and but that it doesn't mean they won't long for the previous days of their great life.
So I have a question for you, Meredith, about your listener response. I'm really struck that every caller we have, and I'm afraid we've got a few more that we're not going to be able to get to, they're all men.
Yeah, that's actually shocking and lovely all at the same time, because I think there is a stereotype, and you know, Tina Fey sort of speaks to this, that the single people that we're talking about are the women who are, you know, desperate for a husband. And right now we've heard from single people who are male and not necessarily looking for a partner or in a relationship and longing to be single. And my readership is really, I would say, 50-50, 60-40 when it comes to gender. And a lot of them said, most of them said, in fact, this is normal. And I would say 90% of them said, don't talk to your husband about this, because assume that most of the time when he's driving with his top down, he's wishing he were single too for a few minutes, and you know, turning on rock songs from the 80s that he used to listen to. You know, he's thinking the same thing. So it seemed to be that no matter the gender of the person who commented on Boston.com, everyone says, you know, this is normal. This is very normal.
Maybe too, and Bella, let me throw this out to you. Maybe sort of holding on to that that desire to be single can be good for a relationship, in that, of course, we were single when we met each other. We like that about each other. It was alluring. So you want to sort of hold on to a little bit of single mystery, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think that in our society, we've gone way too far toward this kind of enmeshed way of doing coupling, what I call intensive coupling, where you look to your partner to be your everything. And that is a very contemporary sort of thing, too. In earlier times, we had much more value that we placed on friends and family and time spent with people other than your romantic partner.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation. Listeners, I'm so sorry we didn't get a chance to get to many more of you. Please continue this conversation online on our website at radioboston.org. Bella DiPaolo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love this.
Bella DiPaolo is author of Single Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Living Happily Ever After. And Meredith Goldstein, Love
yes.
Letters columnist at the Boston Globe.
And single woman who can unzip her own dress all by herself.
Well, that's a thrilling thought, Meredith. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate
Thanks.
It.
I'm not waiting around for a man to save me, because I'm happy where I am. Don't depend on a guy to validate me. No, no. I don't need to be anyone's baby. Is that so hard to understand? No, I don't need another half to make me whole. Make you move if you want, doesn't mean I will or won't. I'm free to make my mind up, you either got it or you don't. This is my current single status, my declaration of independence. There's no way I'm trading places right now with stars in the ascendant.
Well, next week on Radio Boston, it's all about summer. Hey, maybe you'll meet someone on the beach. I don't know. We'll celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Cape Cod National Seashore, and we'll stretch out on the sand with some great New England-themed summer reads.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mozzie, and Jason Breslow. We say hello to our new intern, Katie Enders, today. and a very sad goodbye to Maddie Neufeld. Thank you so much for your hard work, Maddie. Enjoy the rest of the summer and knock 'em dead in your last year at Wesleyan.
Maddie, it was great having you. Jerry Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director. We had additional engineering help this week from Michael Garth and Eddie Mizulis. The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a great weekend, everyone, and join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.